At Least Strangers Are Interesting, written by Marv with a V and read by 42 Do Not Panic. A Daredevil and the Avengers story featuring Clint Barton and Matt Murdock. Summary. It's not the most interesting assignment Clint has ever had, but then a snowstorm hits New York and that's when it starts to get interesting, when he follows Matt Murdock onto the rooftop and actually talks to him for the first time. He wasn't supposed to like him. In fact, he wasn't supposed to get to know him at all. It was just business. S.H.I.E.L.D. arranged to sublet an apartment from the lawyer who lived there, but was prepared to share the space during daylight hours when he'd be working anyway. That was fine. Clint could work with those hours. He'd take the day shift and swap to monitoring the footage at night when he'd be watching from the van. When he was supposed to sleep, he didn't know, but that was all S.H.I.E.L.D. needed Matt Murdock's apartment for, monitoring a target residing across the street from him. The apartment was ideally located and Matt was blind. He wasn't much of a security threat. He wasn't going to be a problem at all. It was a 3-month-long assignment with a very officially worded contract. Matt would be paid well, which meant he could keep the lights on a little longer in his privately run law firm, and he didn't have to do anything except hand over his spare keys. Matt agreed to those terms, and for the first month, everything went smoothly. Clint entered the apartment after Matt left for work in the mornings, and he left before he came home. They didn't bother each other. Matt got his money, and Clint got the wealth of information gleaned through unhindered surveillance. It was all going fine. And then came the worst winter storm New York City had endured in 50 years, and Clint wound up trapped in an apartment with a good-looking guy he knew almost nothing about. To make matters worse, it was Christmas Eve, and Matt's fridge was stuffed full of food for tomorrow. It was food he'd intended to share with his colleagues who he was planning to spend Christmas with, but with conditions outside only worsening, it didn't look like he'd be hosting Christmas dinner after all. The man didn't intimate this to him in so many words, though. Clint was just naturally observant. He'd put the pieces together. He had no choices but to do that since Matt hardly spoke to him at all. He got it. He was a government agent and part-time roommate Matt was never supposed to have anything to do with. Matt didn't trust him, and he didn't want to talk to him about the crushing reality that he was going to either spend Christmas alone or with a perfect stranger. Personally, Clint would have chosen the latter. At least strangers were interesting. He could only talk to himself for so long before he went crazy and started climbing the walls or exploring the vents. Matt didn't exactly give him an option on that. He made a comment about the weather, told Clint to help himself to anything in the fridge, and then disappeared through the rooftop access door. That's right. Matt Murdock would rather have a snowstorm for company than Clint. That hurt his ego, but he wasn't about to admit it. He hesitated and stood alone in the living room for about 40 seconds, looking through the frosted over windows at the dim violet glow of the billboard opposite before he made up his mind and followed Matt out onto the roof and into the bitter cold. "What are you doing out here? It's freezing," said Clint, finding Matt pacing the roof, cane in hand, his dark hair flecked with snow. Matt turned and shrugged. "I like it when it's cold. It helps me think." Clint frowned. "Or you're avoiding me." "That's ridiculous," said Matt with a little half of impatience. "I don't even know you." "And you don't want to," said Clint with a sigh. Matt almost looked amused as he observed. "You're smart for a fat." Clint tried not to imagine what Natasha's face would look like if someone ever said that to her. It wasn't a compliment. It was a thinly veiled insult and he took it as such. It was Matt's attempt to keep him at a safe distance in the politest way possible. Clint knew already that he wasn't going to let him do that. "Look, come inside," he said with a sigh. "We'll drink, watch a movie, I'll even cook." Matt frowned. "You can cook." "Nothing too elaborate, but yeah," Clint said modestly. Matt turned away and sighed, his shoulders slumping in defeat as he explained. "It was supposed to make up for things. Me having them here for Christmas." "Your colleagues?" Clint clarified, watching him closely. Matt shook his head and turned to face him, a small, sad smile curving his lip as he said, "They're more like family." Clint smiled too. "I have a colleague like that. Smart as a whip and about as friendly, but I like having her around." Not everybody felt the same way about Natasha Romanoff. She had a tendency to make even the most seasoned agents nervous. Watching a guy like Steve Rogers sweat when Natasha gave him a stern look was enough to make Clint's work life interesting to say the least, even when he wasn't running Dallas dishwasher surveillance ops. Matt sighed and said, "I was trying to turn over a new leaf, I guess. Really be there, be involved in their lives, and..." "I'll understand," said Lynn, trying to comfort him. "You can't control the weather, just the thermostat, which, by the way, I have no idea how to adjust."
"Me either,"
Matt admitted with a shrug. Clint gaped at him and said incredulously, "How long have you lived here?" "Check your paperwork," Matt retorted immediately, and Clint rolled his eyes. "Typical lawyer," he grumbled playfully. "Can't even answer a question straight." "Typical fat," Matt countered fearlessly. "Can't even have a conversation without turning it into an interrogation." Clint grinned appreciatively. Not too many people would have had the stones to say that to his face. People tended to get scared off by his job. People that weren't Matt Murdock, that is. He didn't seem to care that what Clint did as long as he stayed out of his way. But with a blizzard imminent and the possibility of being snowed in becoming more likely by the hour, that wasn't an option anymore. "I'm a great conversationalist," said Clint a little defensively. "I just can't think straight when my ass is frozen. Come inside, please?" Matt sighed, but gave him. "If you insist." "I do. I'll even make you a drink," offered Clint, surprising himself. Surprise and amusement flickered across Matt's face as he said, "You're offering me my own hooch?" "Hooch?" Clint repeated, amused by his word choice. Matt shrugged as he started down the steps towards the roof access door, cane in hand. "Liquor, booze, happy juice, it makes me like you. Take your pick." Clint grinned. "Ooh, option 3, for sure." Matt paused then and turned on the step, nearly making Clint crash into him. His grace on that narrow concrete step was unexpected, and he frowned, reminded irresistibly of Natasha. Matt could turn on a dime quickly and smoothly too, with all the grace of a cat or a ballerina, not that he planned on telling him so. "Do you want me to like you, Clint?" Matt asked, frowning slightly. That was a loaded question as Clint had ever heard one, but he answered honestly. "I just know when someone could use a friend." Matt scoffed and jerked his head, doing a unique and altogether dramatic version of an eye roll as he said, "I have friends." "You call them colleagues," Clint pointed out.
"Actually, you did," said Matt, his tone quietly triumphant.
"I called them family."
Clint groaned.
"God, how does anyone ever win an argument with you?" Matt just smirked. "They don't." He said it so cockily, with such smugness and certainty that Clint didn't know if he wanted to laugh or kiss that smug smirk right off his face. The latter, if he was honest with himself. Matt was hot and complicated, his usual type. He was also special. There was just something about him underneath all that carefully veiled vulnerability and altogether charming arrogance.
"Oh, I like you," Clint whispered to himself more than to Matt, who heard nonetheless.
"Good," Matt murmured huskily, leaning in until he was tantalizingly close, an inch from Clint's lip. Close enough to kiss him, but not doing so. "Let's have that drink." Then he stepped back, leaving Clint cold and wanting. "That smug son of a bitch," he thought, as Matt pulled open the door and disappeared inside the apartment. Clint stared after him for a moment, then followed him inside. He wanted that drink. That and some quality time spent getting to know Matt Murdock over some nice hooch.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving me a comment and hop over to Marv to give her some love as well for her beautiful stories.